Let you read first tonight in Genesis chapter 1. Book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Down to verse 5. And God said, Let there be a firmament. And the end of verse 7. And it was so. Verse 9, And God said, Let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place. And the end of the verse says, And it was so. Verse 11, And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass. And the end of verse 11, And it was so. Verse 14, And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. And the end of verse 15 says, And it was so. Verse 20, And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly, and so on. And the end of verse 24, And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature. And the end of it says, And it was so. Now let's look over, please, to the second chapter. Second chapter, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse 8 of chapter 3. And he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Look down to verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now then, last I want to read in John chapter 5 in the New Testament. John chapter 5, the well-known verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The reason I read in Genesis chapter 1, just the different parts of it there, is to emphasize or to highlight what's on my mind, and it's this. What God says happens. We're living in a day now when people are saying, and they're even getting to the point where they say, is there a God at all? And then you go to some places and they say, what's the Bible? We're coming into an age now, it's called the New Age, where the Word of God is put to the one side. And as we've said in different times, the devil hasn't changed his tactics too much because he's attacking this world tonight, Canada, United States, at least in the same way that he attacked our first parents. He shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And of course that was the pride of life to be like that. And that's what's happening in the world today in this New Age thing. They've taken up the Bible from the schools and the prayers, and of course President Clinton's trying to get rid of the arms and the guns and so on, but they put back the Bible and the prayer, although it may be even prayed by people who are not saved, yet even then there is a fear of God put amongst the people, but that's gone now. And as we said last night, I want to say again tonight, it's terrible to have to say it, but when a person gets saved now, it's a miracle of the grace of God. It always was a miracle, and it was a miracle that I got saved, and we were saying today as we were out a little while, we were saying, why was it God ever picked us up? The more I look into that, and I see the teeming millions around me, and those that have no concern whatsoever about their soul salvation, and sometimes flying over some of these big cities and seeing lights as far as you can see at 10,000 feet. Wondering how many people there really know what it is to be have salvation and know for sure they're going to be in heaven. It's shocking. I see again there's so many people in the world today don't even know what a Bible is. But I want to say as I pass by, and of course the young people has come to gospel meetings in the past and come to Sunday school and so on. You have been brought up to understand and to know that this book that we have before us is the Word of the God of heaven, the living Word. And so what I want to stress for a few minutes tonight is simply this. What God says, it happens. And over again down through this chapter we read, and God said, he started off with, God said there would be, God said let there be light. And there was light. When you looked upon this globe of ours, this planet of earth, and it was covered with darkness, it was a place where there was nothing. Nothing could grow, nothing could be here, nothing could live here. But God came in upon the scene, and the first thing he says is, let there be light, and there was light. It only took his breath to say it. And then over and over again, down through it, he said, divide the seas from the land, and it happened. And he said, let the ground bring forth the fruit trees, and it happened. And as soon as that tree was in the ground, the lovely, luscious fruit was on it. Didn't have to wait for it to grow. If it had to wait for it to grow, then Adam would never have lived. But the goodness of God, he has everything. He didn't make the world and make man and say, I wonder what we'll give him to eat. He has already had it. And he didn't say, I wonder what we'll give those animals to eat. He had the herbs for them and the grass of the field. Everything congenial for mankind. I want to say as a goodbye here, I think that oftentimes we fail to understand something far more significant than just a person getting saved from hell. He made this world congenial for mankind so that from this little planet of Earth, he could take a bride for his son that he never had in all the eternity gone by. To me, that's tremendous. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to know for sure when I go to bed at night, I'll never be in hell. That's wonderful. And I've often said, if salvation just saved my soul from going to hell, that would be well worth praising him for until the end of journey. But all is far more to it than that. I wish I could make your mouth water tonight. You were not saved. The thing that not only been saved from the burnings of a real burning hell, which it really is, but to be saved for heaven. To sit down in the heavens above. To be part of the bride of Christ. The nearest place. The Lord Jesus. What he said will come true. Therefore, when it come into the second chapter then, the time is going on, I want you to look and see what happened again. God brought man upon the scene after he made everything for him and put everything in his place for him. Now God brings man into the scene. And he says to that man, all the trees of this garden you may eat from except one. There's the one again. And of that tree thou mayest not eat. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did God mean it? That's the big question. That's what I want to try to impress tonight. Does God mean what he says? For there's far too many in Vancouver that will do like the woman in Proverbs when she wipes her mouth and says, how does God know? And others will say, can he see through the thick clouds? Listen, God can see a black ant on a black rock on a pitch black night. And he look into the very recesses of the souls of men and women, and he can see every sin they've ever committed. I am glad my sins are forgiven. So he says to the man, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now listen, anybody with grade 2 or 3 education would understand this. The consequences of sin. The consequences of taking that forbidden fruit. The consequences of going against God's word is death. That wouldn't be hard to understand, would it? Of course, again, here's another thing that's happening in our world today. And that is, children are growing up and don't know what punishment is. They're not allowed to know. I don't know about Vancouver, but when my daughter was up in Toronto a few years ago, and her little boy and girl's going to school, the Mountie, the Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman, come in, and spoke to those young children and told them, listen, if your father or mother ever lays a hand on you, you come and tell me. No wonder this world is in the messaging. Because they get away with it in the home. They get away with it in the school. And they think they're going to get away with it with God. One sin put Adam and Eve outside the Garden of Eden. God says, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so the word of God meant so much, and to go against it meant quite the consequences are terrific. Now then, you'll hear the story, you know the story, I don't have to go into it, but you know how the serpent came in upon the scene? And the serpent just put a doubt in the woman's mind, and he says, hath God said, oh, I think I can hear him say. Slippery. Subtle. And he hasn't changed. Hath God said? And so oftentimes we meet young people today and they're saying, you think it's really true? Do you really understand that that's really... My brother-in-law said to me a few years ago, do you really believe the whole Bible? Yes, I said, I do. There's not a contradiction in it. There's not a mistake in it. From start to finish, Genesis to Revelation, it's the Word of God, the living Word of God. That's why the greatest teacher that ever lived couldn't get to the end of it. The greatest teacher that ever walked the scene of time. I mean godly, spiritual man, the greatest teacher that ever lived. He only touched the fringe of of God's holy word. It will take the Lord Jesus, the greatest orator of this universe, for the ages to come to show us the exceeding riches of His grace. What a day that will be. What a meeting that will be. I remember when I was just in my teens, saved just a few years, and going to the conference there and listen to those venerable old men that could take the dark things of Scripture and open them up to us and make them plain and simple to even a boy. As I go home, I say, my, what's heaven going to be? But there's a day coming when this one, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the greatest orator of the universe, begins to explain to us. Then and only then will we understand what we really know, our own. And so He says to the woman, hath God said. That's the doubt He would put in your mind tonight, you who are not saved, and even Christian's child. Is it really true? I went to a Christian's home one night. The daughter of 23 years had just passed away. She had been saved a couple of years. Her cousin was there, same age. She was sitting in a room by herself and crying, weeping her eyes out. Different ones had spoken to her. They said, you better go and see her. We said to her, what's your problem? Well, she said, when I look at Carol that's gone, that could have been me. Just a step. I said, that's right. Well, she says, Carol is ready and she's in heaven. I know that. But she says, for me, it wouldn't have been so well. I said, what would have been? She just tried to evade the question. Well, she says, I wouldn't be in heaven. She says, I would like to have what Carol has. We went over the scriptures back and forth. You could see that she understood the way of salvation, but there was something, barrier somewhere. Couldn't see it. Went backwards and forwards. Finally, we drew a bow at a venture, because we were looking at John 5:24, where we read tonight. I hadn't thought of the story when I was reading that, but it comes to me now. We're reading that scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. Can you not see? No, she says, I understand what you're saying. I can see the plan of it, but I can't rest on it. He said, tell me, is there something in this word that you don't understand or will not believe? Well, she says, I don't want to get into that now. I said, hold on a minute. Is there something you don't believe in the Word of God? And again, she says, well, there is something I'm thinking of, but she says, it's got nothing to do with salvation. I don't want to get interested in that right now. I don't want to talk about it. Well, she says, hold on a minute. We're not going any further here until you can tell me what it is. Well, she says, you have to know. She says, if you have to know, she says, the Bible says, and I know it says it, she said, that we came by way of Adam and Eve. But she says, I'm going to the college now. And she says, our instructor, our professor tells us we came by way of evolution. Now, you see, it doesn't matter about salvation. So she says, let's forget about it. Oh, no, you can't forget about it. Well, she says, what's it got to do with salvation? Listen, if you can't believe God as to where you come from and you're here now, how in the world are you going to believe God as to where you're going? You haven't been yet. She said, I haven't thought of that. Well, I said, you better think about it, because until you can believe the word of God, it's no sense you even think that we're getting saved. She thought for 15 minutes at least, sat there quietly. And then she looked up. She says, I wish I could forget about what the professor says, but she says, it's there. See what I'm getting at? The doubt. My friend, I want to say emphatically tonight, it all depends on what God says. That's the only reason that a person that is saved can be sure they're going to heaven. Because of what God says. And the only reason a person would know that they're a sinner to begin with is what God says. And the only way a person can know their sins forgiven is knowing what God says about it. And you heard it already, there was a sacrifice for sin. And that one sin of Adam and Eve put them outside. Now let's go over the last 10, 15, 20 years. They've been piling up, haven't they? I know that the Christian's child has been sheltered. I know that. But you know the worst sin of all he's guilty of? Do you know what it is? There was that man that took 18 nurses methodically into another room one by one and murdered them. Terrible sin. But that's not the worst one. Hitler brought on the scene a terrible mess during that last big war. But Hitler could have been saved. I mean, he could get saved. That's not the worst sin. The worst sin, and the one that will damn the soul for eternal ages to the deepest, lowest hell, is the sin of not taking God at His word. The Christian's child is guilty of it. Do you not see tonight, young person in this meeting, can you not see the dreadfulness, the consequences of that terrible sin? It's a sin question that must be settled. May God help somebody tonight. I know I didn't get very far with this, but the time is gone. Listen, whatever you do, don't let the devil put a doubt in your mind, because what God said is going to happen. And God said He would send His Son. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you something here. What Adam and Eve heard for the gospel, it was great news. Would you get saved on that news that they heard? He said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. That's all gospel they heard. And when God brought along the coats of skins that God made to cover them with, they were willing to put their arms into them and take them on them because of what God said. My friend, I want to say tonight, very emphatically again, that what God said comes true, and He has told you, and He has told you plainly, that you're a sinner.
Your very dreams would tell you that. And because of that, the consequences is terrible. The lake of fire forever, the second death. But that's why Jesus died. And the very first promise that was given to mankind, although there was a promise before that in Titus 1 and 2, but the promise given to man in the Garden of Eden was the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus, shall bruise the serpent's head. And he did. And as you already heard tonight, at the close of it all, when he had finished, he says, finished. The work was completely satisfactory to God. And the very fact that God raised them from the dead again proves conclusively God is satisfied so that you and me go free on the strength of that. Now I'm going to quote the scripture and leave it with you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, says the Lord Jesus, the greatest authority in this universe. He that heareth my word, And I'm not a scholar, but they tell me where there's an and, it's holding two sentences together. What's the first one? He that heareth my word. And believest. Sometimes people say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. That's the biggest piece of nonsense I ever heard. I was on the way from Missouri one time with an airplane strapped on the back of the truck, and I was trying to get to Toronto for the weekend. And I was, wanting to make time. And I came to a certain big highway, and I asked three men, what's the way to St. Louis? They said, take such and such an exit. I took that exit. At least I think I did. Some one of us is wrong, because after I've driven about 35 or 40 miles, I see a big sign, Nashville. Nashville's east. I want to go north. But they said that's the way to go, so I'm going along fat, dumb, and happy, thinking all is well. You see, I was believing what they said, all right. But after a while, another big sign. I pulled in the service station. I said, mister, can you tell me the way to St. Louis? He said, that way. Now I start to argue with him, the way people argue with God. And I said, but the event told me, go this way. He said, I don't care what they say. He said, you want to go and meet St. Louis? It's up that way. But I said, are you sure? And I was arguing with the man. Oh, isn't that like mankind? Listen, he that heareth my word, Jesus died on the cross for sin. Believe in him! And I want to say, as we said in times gone by, I want to say this. The stress is on him, not the believer. There's a lot of people believe, but it's not at him. Put the stress on his work, not on your believing. You could have all the faith in the world as far as faith is concerned, but if you're not willing to put that faith in him, see, that's why he died, so that you could rest on his finished work. Take it home with you tonight. And I can guarantee you from this holy word, as he said, hath everlasting life. Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy holy presence a moment to pray. And O God, we do pray of thee that thou wilt speak to each one in our meeting, not save. Our Father, we cannot create an anxious thought on anyone, but thou art able to speak to poor men and women, boys and girls, about this most important question. So we leave them in thy hand. And, O God, we pray that we might have the joy of hearing of someone asking that most important question the Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? Take the whole people home in safety, we pray, and bring them back again for another night, if the Lord be not come.
in his own worthy and precious name. Amen. Let's sing a verse or two of hymn number 63. Hymn number 63, the time is gone, so we'll just sing the first two verses of hymn number 63, and don't forget the meetings night after night. Come back again. We said last night, we say again tonight. It's like a continued story. If you miss a few nights, you don't get the middle of it. And the most important thing is get down to business about this matter, because it's for eternity. And time is short.